to the Sight to the Bomb podcast. I have another guest on my show. I'm pretty sure she will have a lot to say. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Sade, but on like YouTube and social media, I go by Folashade Royal. So I've been, I guess you could say, in the truth now for about going on 4 years now. I woke up like in 2019. So it's been a journey to get to this point, like where I am today on my walk, but it's led me to be here to, you know, be able to speak to Larry and his audience on his podcast, Sight to the Blind. So obviously I'm doing something right.
Right. when you first woke up, because I feel like we woke up at the same time. I woke up around 2019 too. So what did you feel was the toughest thing to let go of this world when you were coming into this walk?
The toughest thing to let go of. It probably was my family and like my friends, because like, okay, I think like the younger generation, like a lot of them are in idolatry with like celebrities and popular culture and social media and stuff. That wasn't really my idol. I had broke away from that idol like when I was like 17, like I found out about conspiracy theories and things like that. But by the time I woke up, I think I was about 26 at the time. And my family and friends were like the biggest idol in my life, because like I really just loved and adored my family. And I realized when I started getting closer to Yah that it was like a lot of narcissistic issues in my family. Like my grandmother, she, I guess you could say she's like the female matriarch, typical narcissist. So like I didn't realize that I was brainwashed by them, kind of. So that was like my biggest hurdle, my family.
And you talking as far as the doctrine of feminism, that you had to be a strong, independent woman, or what was the teachings within that, your household?
No. I was never a feminism. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, not a feminism. I was never a feminist. So, okay, I could take it back like from when I was younger. I always felt like that I was called. Like, even from, like, when I was a child, like, my mother, she put me into Christian school. And I'm a literalist, so it was so funny when, like, I was a little girl, my mother would be afraid, because when I would come home from school, I would literally be, like, repenting, like, all day, all afternoon. And she was, like, going to, like, my teachers and my family members, like, what is going on? She's only in first grade. Like, why do you have her, like, praying on her knees, asking God to forgive her like every single day? You know, back then I called him God, not Yahuwah, but I kind of was like called my whole entire life. So I never really fell into trappings of like feminism and stuff like that, because I've always been pro-Black, and feminism was always counterproductive to being pro-Black, because it's like, oh, you gotta hate Black men or whatever. Like, I'm just like, can't y'all see the bigger picture? Like, the white man is brainwashing y'all to be like that. So I was always like, especially when I was in college, oh my goodness, like being around certain groups of women and stuff, I would kind of be like the outcast, because I wouldn't be supporting abortion, or I wouldn't be supporting this. And then they try to gaslight you like, oh, but you believe in Jesus. Like, you're, you know, you believe in Jesus, so you're judging these people, whatever. I'm like, it's not about judging. It's the fact that certain things are wrong, you know? So, yeah.
So coming into this walk, we all struggled with, I would say I've struggled with, you know, my mouth. Like, sometimes you want to be in the spirit, and sometimes people want that gangster. So when you came into this walk, did you have to fine tune your language of how you talk or how you represent yourself? Because you're no longer representing yourself anymore. You're representing Yah. So did you have to change a lot about your character, or you already came into this walk like, I'm cool. Like, all right, just I accept the truth and just move on. Or was it difficult for you?
No, it was definitely difficult, because I'm a very like blunt, outspoken, tell it how it is kind of person. Like, I don't really care, kind of, because my thing was, if it's the truth, it's the truth. Like, it don't matter if it make you feel good or bad. Like, it is what it is. But I had to learn, like, you know, you're not just like, you're not a conspiracy theorist anymore, Sade. You're not whatever you were before, you know, like, because I even before I found Yah, what led me to Yah, like, I had dabbled into witchcraft. So, like, tarot cards and stuff like that, because I was trying to find him. And I would talk a certain way at that point. But then when I found Yah and Yahusha, I was like, okay, I have to control my tongue, control my mouth. Like, I have to say things a certain way, and people won't necessarily receive it. But also, I realized that was kind of two-edged, because it's like I realized no matter sometimes how nice or how sweet you say something, if somebody doesn't want to accept the truth, they don't want to accept the truth. Like, it's nothing you can do. But I'm better now with being more graceful with my
I
time.
feel you, sis. So you mentioned tarot cards. So how did you get into that?
Let me see. So okay, one of my many delusions from the past, it was like, you meet a guy, y'all are dating or whatever, and you want to get his birthday to match your birthday to see if like y'all are aligned and stuff like that. So I really got into it like through my dating life and kind of, wanting to like look into and see into people. And it's just so messed up, because it's like all that numerology and tarot and astrology is like painted to the youth, is glorified as this like beautiful thing, like where you can learn more about yourself, become more spiritual, whatever. But it's all like a load of crap. Like, it was all, when I woke up, I found out like it was witchcraft. I was literally disgusted. Like, I just was like so disappointed in myself. I was just like, how sis, how did you fall into this?
And then was it difficult to come out, or you just when you found out about the truth, you're like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore? Or do you still sometimes catch yourself thinking about zodiac signs and the people you meet?
No, like, okay. So when I came out of it, like when I found Yah in 2019, I let go of everything. Like, I threw my tarot cards away. I was like, oh no, this is like trash. I'm not doing that no more. But what I realized, and some other people might be able to relate to this, but when you have the Ruach HaKodesh, you will attract certain people. Like, you will attract witches and warlocks. So even though I wasn't doing like tarot and stuff no more, like, people will come to me like, oh, I see what you're doing. I like what you're doing. I want to be your friend or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, friendly or whatever. So now they're using Yahuwah's name, but they're still witches and warlocks. Like, dang, you can't win. Like, I'm like, how are you using his name, but whole time you a warlock or you a witch? I'm just like, yeah, like, what is going on? So that's one thing I noticed.
And then they would you consider this as them testing you, like testing if you was going to come out of this walk or stick to it?
Okay. So now that I'm getting older, I'm getting away from my emotions, and in the past I've been very like emotional. So I'm like very sensitive. So yeah, it was definitely like them, like kind of like testing me, the demons that were attached to me. They were really sent to torment me, because I'm always a very stubborn person. So like, once I know something like that, this is hurting Yahuwah or I can't do this, I'm like, nothing can make me like do that. I'm like that stubborn, and that's how much I hate Satan. But Satan is tricky, and he can masquerade as light. So with me being a people person, just loving my people, loving Israelite people, like, just being a teacher, the people that I had around me, I had to realize that just because this person is speaking, the name of Yahuwah, the name of Yahusha, whatever, they are quote unquote awakened to their Israelite heritage, that means nothing. And it's like the same how I see like those people in those camps, how they dress a certain way. The men have on the fringes, the women have on like the long dresses and the hair wraps. But then you hold a conversation with them, the Ruach is nowhere to be found. So it's kind of like that. Like, I realize Israelite people are very focused on optics. Like, if it looks good and it sounds good, you know, we'll ignore a lot of stuff. But then the rock is like, Yahusha, the spirit of Yahusha is like, no, you need to look deeper. They ain't who they say they are. But Jesus, what have you out here looking crazy? Like, oh, just love and light and forgiveness. Whole time this person is like pulling you away from your destiny and their demons are trying to latch onto you.
How has your dating life been since coming into the truth? You know
The truth from Yahuwah.
that was coming.
I'm a nun at this point.
I
Like,
feel
no.
you.
Honestly, I haven't dated since I woke up to the truth. Like, it's crazy. Like, the last man who I was fornicating with him. When I found Yahuwah, literally that next day, I said, we're not having sex no more. Nothing. That was the last time I fornicated, and that was like the last time I even have been that close to a man. Mind you, that was back in 2019. So dating, partly it could be some of my fault too, because I'm an introvert. I barely get out of the house. So maybe I gotta leave out sometime, you know, to like for my husband to notice me if I
I feel you,
Oh
but
my goodness.
what do you feel like is Israelite men and men that's not in the walk or in the truth yet? What do you think is the problem with men in this generation?
The problem, the biggest problem I noticed, excuse me, I had a little cold, but the biggest problem I noticed is I don't know why in my head I'm thinking like idolatry, like I notice it's different because, like, I feel like when women come into the truth, it doesn't, and tell me if I'm wrong, brother. I could be biased, but I feel like a woman, you know, in her past, she could have been a feminist. She could have been, I don't know, like a witch or whatever. She could have been had like a whole bunch of things like attached to her. But I feel like when we come into the truth, we kind of like are able to kind of let go of a lot of that stuff. I realize coming across some men, who some of our Israelite brothers who, you know, are awakened and come into the truth, it's hard for them to let go of, like, I want to say, like, pride and wanting to kind of have like this kind of like be on top. Y'all, please help me guide my words. What am I trying to say? Kind of like wanting to, I guess you could say, be famous or have some kind of spirit of wanting to like be controlled. Like, I feel like it's like a delusional spirit. Like they'll come into this walk and just be like, oh yeah, I'm about to have five wives. And I'm like, you can't even take care of like a girlfriend, like one girl. So it's like that kind of like delusional thinking where like either a lot of them like still low key want to be famous, because I feel like a lot of like Israelite brothers are being exposed right now for being in secret societies and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, like if they're serving you, why is a piece of them still wanting to be like attached to something?
And like I said, it always goes back to brothers being raised probably without their fathers, are not getting attention at home, and if you don't conquer that childhood trauma of not being able to truly be appreciated for who you are, you seek validation. So a lot of brothers come into this truth seeking validation, like the Most High is not enough for them. And like you said, our brothers, it's the optics. We need to see things. So brothers want to put all these costumes on, these costumes that's not even biblical, and they want to ride on horses, and it's just so much silliness going on that our people want to be
So many
idolized. Our
layers.
people just want to be famous, and they want to be famous for something, no matter what it is.
It's ridiculous and it disgusts me because Yahuwah should definitely be enough. And you know, I'm not judging our people because everyone is different. Like I said, everyone before you woke up to the truth could have different idols or whatever. And it's like until you break those demonic contracts and covenants, it'll still come up. And I think that's what a lot of our people are seeing now, even after they're finding Yahuwah. It's like certain things or certain curses or attachments that, you know, they had to their bloodline or their lineage, it wasn't broken off. And it has to be broken off in order for you to be fully free and fully released, or either the cycle will repeat itself.
Did you ever fast after tarot? Did you get into fasting or no?
Yeah, I started getting into fasting really like last year, like going hard, like going days without eating and drinking and things of that nature, because like y'all had me move to Houston in 2021 when I was like kind of escaping like my narcissistic family. So I didn't have a job. I didn't have no money. I was like living out of my car. I was like, yeah, like, why are you telling me to go to Houston? I don't even have nowhere to live. I don't have nowhere to stay. And then after a month of me, like, I was sleeping in Walmart parking lots in my car. My car had got repossessed. It was crazy because I was coming out of the gym. I had just taken a shower, and literally as I'm walking out of the gym, my car is being repossessed. And I only had like $200 to my name. And I was like, yeah, Airbnb is so expensive. I'm like, you brought me here to Houston. Like, you have to help me. So like, he allowed me to find some money to be able to book an Airbnb. Come to find out, the people who I was staying with, it was this older Gentile couple, this white couple. And they allowed me to live with them for free until I found a job. They were like literally like wait. It was like as if they were waiting for me. And during this time of me like seeking employment, I was like fasting and, you know, just praying and just learning how to really serve and worship Yahuwah in that kind of way, to like really like make it less of me and more in him, to make my spirit stronger.
And you are able to understand when he communicates with you? Do you feel he communicates with you differently?
Yeah, I communicate, you know, a lot of times, however, like his child, whoever you are individually, a lot of times will receive it. Like a lot of times he'll communicate me to me, like even while I'm just like sitting here talking to you through the Ruach or through like dream. I'm a dreamer, and I've been a dreamer like my whole life. Like, so he definitely communicates to me through dreams. I remember, I'm not sure if you remember, that I had sent you a dream that he had gave to me before about you.
Oh, this is the one about the woman I was gonna marry?
Yeah.
Yes. And to tell you the truth, I wanted to go a little bit deeper into that, but I was like so scared because I was in a place where I didn't know if this was gonna be the person or not, because we're going in and out. But you still may be right though.
Well, here's the thing too. Okay, he did give me a follow-up dream about, nobody he sent me dreams about you. Like, we never even met. So I don't know this man. But I think sometimes he'll do that. Even let's just to say we've never met. It could be for our own individual walk and growth. Like, even just with me being a podcast listener, I could see, like, if you talk about your relationship, I could line it up to my dreams. Like, oh, okay, so this was Yah, not the enemy or whatever. Because if you're a dreamer, you do have to be careful, because, like I said, Satan, like the masquerader, is angel of light. So sometimes he will come into your dreams as well. So you have to make sure that you don't have, like, any portals open. And that means, like, that could look anything from something as simple as, you know, you watched some kind of horror movie the night before you went to sleep or whatever. You have to be very careful. If you're leaving a door open for the enemy to come in, some kind of sin portal, he will come in. So you have to be clean a lot of times when you're receiving dreams from Yah.
Wow. But talk about the experience of you not knowing if you were going to have a home, not knowing if you have a job. Did you rely heavily only on Yah, or were you to a point where you were freaking out a little bit, that you were panicking, you didn't know what to do? But or did you just, like, I'm trusting Yah, I know he's going to bring me through this?
I 100% trusted Yah. Like, eventually I got an apartment in Houston last year. I don't live in Houston anymore. Now I've since relocated back to my hometown of Baltimore, Maryland. But last year I was in this apartment and I had finally found a job. Let me tell you how crazy it was. So I got a job at Amazon. I had been looking for a job for like 3 months. So I found a job through Amazon Corporate it was like a technical recruiter position. So I was supposed to be recruiting like software developers and stuff. Do you know, after only, I want to say 2 weeks on the job, I got laid off.
Wow.
Finally, when I finally got a job, and now I'm like, okay, now I can pay rent. 'Cause I was like 3 months behind on my rent. I was praying, I was fasting for this job, like, and I just was like, you gotta be kidding me. So I eventually got evicted from my apartment. Mind you, I'm still not talking to my family that lives in Baltimore, because I just was like, you know what? It's a narcissistic family dynamic, and narcissism is just a fancy word to reprobate mind, people possessed by demons. So I was like, I'm not about to be back with those demons. I told y'all, I said, look, I'd rather live under a highway street bridge or something than to be tormented by them Leviathan spirits. I said, So I just was trusting on y'all. I was just like, I was like, yeah, you have to get me out of this situation. Like, I'm trusting on you 100%. I'm not looking to any man, and that goes for family, that goes to some random man. I remember I had started making YouTube videos, and this one man, while I'm going through an eviction, mind you, he had sent me $500. I sent it back because he in the email talking about I'm looking for a wife, and I was sent by Allah. And I said, okay, I'm gonna send this money right back to you. You're not getting me to get into no covenant with no lesser God. So I just relied on y'all. And he actually connected me to a friend in California. I met her in college. I went out to go live with her for a couple of months. And after I had been living in California, I want to say about 3 months, he actually called me back home to Baltimore. And that's where I've been ever since, just trusting, relying on him, making sure that I'm allowing him to provide for me, like, fully, because he's my husband. So he's my provider. And until I get, actually human husband or whatever, he's going to be that place.
And would you say this experience was your trip in the wilderness? Like, 'cause all Israelites or all people had to go through their period of wilderness to find Yah or to be tried and trusted by Yah. Would you say this was a wilderness period for you?
Yes, it was the it's been like the end of my wilderness, because I feel like I'm out of the wilderness now. I don't feel like I'm in the jungle no more.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to
I
hear
feel peace
it.
now. Like, not saying I didn't feel peace and joy then, because you have Yah, you have the Ruach, but now I feel much more confident. Like, I'm not like solely looking at money a certain way, or just even about like me struggling with employment. Like, honestly, Larry, I've struggled with employment since I graduated from college, and that was in 2015. So like, it's been hard, but now I feel like, okay, I guess you could say, like, that dam has been broken. Like, I feel like Yah is pouring out his grace on me, and now I'm able to, as of recently, fully provide for myself. So
What college did you go to?
I went to Clark, Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's away from home then. Why didn't you do Howard?
I always wanted to kind of go to Clark. They had came to visit my high school, and I kind of was like pressed. I was like, oh, this is the school I'm going to go to. So, yeah.
Yeah, girl, you from Maryland? Because I'm from Southern Maryland. So when you said pressed, I was like, yeah, you brought back some old words. Bro, some old words I used
Wow.
to talk
Oh yeah,
like.
you are from Maryland. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Y'all don't like us from Baltimore though. Like,
because y'all weird sometimes. Y'all do
we
weird
not weird.
stuff. Y'all dances
Y'all
be weird. Your music is
the
weird.
weird. Y'all the weird ones. We just be minding our business in our own little world.
Yeah, y'all own little world. That's the perfect way to put it too. Y'all own little world.
Goodness, that's funny.
So where you think you're going in this walk right now? Where what stage you are you in this walk?
The stage that I'm in this walk, I've been learning more about Yahusha. That's the stage that I'm in because I remember I mentioned earlier when we started the podcast that like I felt like I was called my whole life, and being like a speaker and a messenger of Yah, I was one of the ones who had ran from Yah because like it's hard, Larry, talking to the Israelite people. Like Israelite people are just we are just so like stubborn and rebellious and like hard-headed. So like right now I feel like he has me learning about Yahusha in order to gain a new perspective and understanding and love for the people because sometimes it well, I'm gonna just speak for me personally. I like my love for the people can go up and down. Like the love will always be there, but like having the energy and the will to sometimes it feels like you're talking to like just a blank wall or to a door or whatever. It's like, can anybody hear me? Is anyone listening? Like Yahuwah is not playing anymore. Like times are changing. You need to get right with him. You know, you need to drop these idols off of your life. Stop worshiping, you know, Jesus and start worshiping Yahuwah. And it's just like sometimes I just feel like no one's listening. So now with me getting closer to Yahusha and learning about him, I'm gaining a new love, a newfound love for the Israelite people.
And have you been through a season of correction and obedience? Because we none of us did this walk 100% perfect. And we understand that Yah, if he loves us, he will punish us as he sees fit, and he will give us mercy as he sees fit. Did you ever go through a period of corrections?
Yeah, especially when I came into the truth because I'm gonna be honest, y'all, like I remember when my first year of college, I was like 17, 18. Y'all was calling me then and I ignore him. I ran like I guess you could say like Jonah because of my experience of, you know, trying to speak to the people and no one's listening, no one wants to hear me out. People just wanna kinda stay disobedient. And from there I fell into sin. And from there it kind of he got me back on track where I'm like, where he was like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You can't run from your calling. So he had to correct me and he had to do it in a hard and a big way because when you know better and you don't do better and I was prideful because I was like, look, I'm good. You know, I know you. Like, he like, but this is what I called you to do. So it's like, that's another thing. You can't run from your purpose and your calling. And that could look different to, you know, different people. But whatever it is, if you know better and you're supposed to do something, he's going to correct you and he's going to come down hard. And it's going to hurt you so bad when you're like, look, I ain't never doing that again. What you want me to say? You want me to record this video? You want me to write an essay? I'm going to do it. What time is due?
Because I definitely understand that because it's hard to it's almost like when you were a kid and you was getting that belt, but you could reach back and block the belt, but it ain't with Yahuwah, it ain't no blocking that belt, there ain't no catching it.
It's not no blocking that belt. The same thing with what they have going on, you know, over there right now in the fake land that they trying to call the true land or whatever. I'm like, it baffles me how so many people who claim to know Yahuwah, claim to be in this walk, they fall for anything and just so easily duped. They don't know about like the secret societies. They don't know about how like that's kind of interwoven into the media. It's like, look, if that was the work of Yahuwah, those people wouldn't be able to record. They wouldn't be able to do anything. Like, just think like the story of Noah and, Noah's telling people, like, look, I'm building this ark, this water about to come down. When that water came down, did you see anybody out there recording it and posting it on social media, putting
Right.
it on the news? No, they were dead. That's how you know it's the work of Yahuwah. Everybody, it's
Exactly.
going to be wrath and destruction. It's not going to be like, oh, let me show you this baby right here, their leg just. No, it ain't gonna be none of that. The news reporter leg gonna be blown off too. Like,
I
it's
said I that you make a great point, because I was like, why do people think this is so real? That every time you see something, a bomb drop or destruction, people got their cell phones out ready to post it online. Like, if this is true prophecy, I'm telling you, people are going to be running scared. Their hands are not going to be able to hold their phones because they're going to be shook.
you're not even going to remember that phones exist when Yahuwah's wrath has come down. So like that's like an indicator. So we just gotta wisen up. We, like you said, we can't fall for everything. We have to get to that point, like with our discernment. We really do.
And then, are you trying to reach out and also educate those who are not in the Israelite community?
Yeah, you mean like people in religion?
Yeah,
Or
religion
Gentiles.
or Gentiles or people who just, passing by either your page or your or just yourself and know that you're in this walk. Do they ever acquire like, so what is this about?
Yeah, like when I first was waking up, I feel like I'm more laid back now. Like I make like YouTube videos, and so okay, this another, and I'm glad you brought that up. This is another thing. I will like run from social media. I'll like delete my social media page because I hate social media. It just gets on my nerves. It's just too much. So like I'll have to like start a whole new social media again because that's like where Yah wants my platform. Yes, he has me speaking in person, but like I said, I'm an introvert, so I don't always leave out that much. So he allows me to use social media to reach his people. So yeah, I'm always posting about y'all. Like I post about him. Like I'm always on LinkedIn, so I'm always posting about y'all on there. And I'm always on YouTube mainly. And right now he has me like starting an Instagram. So
Okay.
y'all could find me on there too. So yeah.
What's the Instagram name?
Falasha Royal.
Spell it.
Did
You
you
got to
want me to
spell it for
spell it out?
those. Yeah.
Okay. It's at FOLASADE Royal, ROYAL.
Cool. And so you getting ready to get into this work, which means you, I know you have or already seen comments like, girl, you know what you're talking about. Girl, you ain't supposed to be teaching, blah, 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 blah. So how do you handle that?
Oh my goodness, like when I first woke up, I was really sensitive, so I would be kind of hurt, like, oh my goodness, you really hurt my feelings. Like, no, I know this is truth. Like, you're gonna believe it. But now I'm like, look, whoever is for, whoever is supposed to receive it will receive it. If I have negative comments, I'm kind of like used to it now. I feel like throughout the past couple of years, he's allowed me to have like that buildup of receiving like negative comments. And now it's kind of like bullets bounce off of me. Now I'm like, look, y'all, I'm gonna pray for them because they have no idea. So now it's more so like a place of like empathy, more so when I receive those kind of comments. Like, even if it's just full on negativity, I'll just be thinking in my head, like, oh, that's just a reprobate, like doing what things that reprobates do.
Right.
Like, so now.
How has it been during the holiday season? Have you broken away from that? Do people hit you up and say, "Hey, you want to come over for Thanksgiving? Hey, you want a Christmas party?" How do you handle that?
Yeah, I haven't celebrated those pagan holidays since like 2019. Like my family, they be trying to like gaslight me, like, oh, well, it's just spending time with family. It's just dinner. I'm like, look, I can't even eat that food because that means I'm partaking in it. Like, don't bring me no takeout plate home. Like, I don't participate at all. And even though it's been like the past couple years, the holidays is coming up now. I'm about to get all that texts and comments and stuff, like, we just want to see your face. We just want to spend time with you. And some of them mean well, But it's like, look, I serve y'all. Like, y'all don't understand. This is paganism. Like, I can't do it even if I wanted to.
Right. I completely understand with that. Is there anything else that you know of, or any stories that you could enlighten all the women on? Because I know, I think in this generation, women suffer from accountability and taking responsibility. Have you ever been put in a situation where your accountability or your responsibility was tested enough, you know when you're wrong or you know when you're right?
So with okay, with my perspective on that, like, you know, of course, like, just being a human, like, your accountability, responsibility, whatever gets tested. But I've always been such a crusader for the truth. Like it don't matter if it's a woman, it don't matter if it's a man, right is right and wrong is wrong. Like, I'm just like old school, like in that mindset. Like, I'm not going to agree with a woman just because she's a woman. If she's wrong, you know, she's wrong. And the same if I was a man, I'm not going to agree with a man just because I'm a man. Like, wrong is wrong. Like, so I think that was like a disconnect with me sometimes connecting with certain women and even men, because I'm like, it's like in that, in a lot of like our women and our men's mind, it's like this team, like, I'm on the team because, you know, I lack accountability or whatever, I'm going to agree with this woman. She could be completely wrong, but because I'm a woman, I gotta stand with her. I'm like, that's foolish. That's like so stupid. Like, I don't really understand that mindset. So my advice to like younger women, because I mentor some younger women, I'm just like, look, you have to be your own person. You have to think for yourself, be an individual, because a lot of times with like these feminist mindsets and these misogynist mindsets, we think like the leaders of those movements, you know, love their self and have high self-esteem, whatever. No, those are the ones who have like the least self-love. A lot of them are reprobates, and they're trying to like hive mind people and get people to think like them when they're not, they like literally don't even have a conscience. So that's how they're able to go out here and be wicked and do these certain things. And then they're reaching down to people who might not necessarily have someone to look up to, like a good role model or a parent or whatever. And then because their mind is feeble through, you know, certain traumas and just wanting to be accepted, you know, they're looking at this person where it's just like, if you have to find who you are through Yahuwah, you can't be like looking to the group or to the majority, because people will always fail you. And that's why I don't get like when some people like come into the truth, they want to be a part of these like Israelite congregations and be connected to all these people. Like, no, this is a walk a lot of times that will be lonely. Like, I'm by myself literally 99% of the time. Like, if it wasn't for social media, I'm gonna be honest, I would think I was the only person in the world that served Yahuwah. Like, I'm telling you, Larry. So it's like, if you're a younger woman, listen to this. I'm 30 years old. So like, if like you're in your 20, well, it don't even matter what age you are. I don't do that like age stuff. Like, I really don't. You could be 70, listen to this, or you could be 21. Like, you have to be your own individual, because people will try to get you to latch on to their delusions and their confusions and whatever they have going on when they don't even know themselves. You have to know yourself. Otherwise, you will fall for feminism or misogyny or these wanting to be a part of secret societies or celebrityism.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head, sis. Do you feel, are you in a rush to have a family, rush to be married, or are you just kind of taking it one day at a time?
My whole dream, and it's so funny, I talked to this, yeah, my dream, like, especially when I was younger, I wanted to like get married and like move to a farm and have like seven or eight kids or whatever. Like, that's literally been since like I was like in my early 20s. And now I'm just like, I still want that to happen, but I realized that Yah doesn't like want me like away from the world. So with him calling me to be a messenger, he wants me to be married, but I have to realize like I won't be ducked off in some corner, some hidden farm, whatever, away from the world. Like he wants me in the public view. So I just pray that, you know, one day I will be married. That it is, I feel like it is his will. I'm just right now, I'm just focused on him. And I feel like women listening to this, like you should put all your focus, your time, and attention to him and his will for your life, and your husband will find you. So that's like what keeps me motivated, like on those lonely nights.
What type of work are you doing on YouTube? Are you just sharing scripture, or are you like what are you teaching?
It's really well, okay. I deleted like a lot of like my past videos. So right now, like I restarted my YouTube, but my most recent videos have been like I've been speaking to the people about, you know, dropping the Jesus idol off of their life. So I feel like I guess the crowd that he has me speaking to in particular right now is people who don't necessarily know him, who he wants to know him.
Has that been tough trying to get people away from that Jesus idol? Because it's tough to get black Christians away from that Jesus idol.
Yeah, it is tough. Like I never thought I was a huge Jesus freak back in the day. So I never would have thought I never would have thought me being away from Jesus. But yeah, it's tough. Like I feel like one thing about people that Yah has taught me, even psychology wise, a lot of people know the truth is because a lot of people are followers. So like if more people of the world were following Yahusha and Yahuwah, then people will follow. But because nobody wants to be like that person standing in the rain alone looking crazy. Like, so I feel like I get comments, you know, of like different attacks and stuff. And I feel like some people know better, but it's hard for them because they don't want to be left out by themselves. You know, they want to be a part of something. And the Christian community is not only bigger, but it has like, I guess you could say, a better reputation because Satan has sold all those like tares of those wayward Israelites. So I feel like it was kind of painted as like this hate group. So I think that's what keeps like a lot of people in religion away from it too, of waking up to their Israelite heritage, even Gentiles, because it seems so scary and aggressive. Like, you know, you just walking down the street and then like it's they got a Bible in your face trying to beat the word down your throat. That's like that's a little scary for some people. So yeah.
And how what else have you seen online, or you have a problem with these camps? Because I remember when they first came out, it was the worst. They were literally barking at white folk, telling them, "You crackers, you're gonna be underneath us. Y'all gonna be kissing our boots and our feet." And I even seen them make them kiss their feet in some of the little camp sessions online. I'm like, bro, who told y'all to do this? But
They
I know it's
scaring
those
those
Masonic
poor white
camps.
folk. Exactly. It's so Masonic, like those 501c3 organizations. Like, I feel like it's died down a little bit because you had more people like me and you, true people who, you know, serving y'all, who doing it like the right way, like not for attention or fame or whatever. Like, so I feel like now it's better representation. You know, people always talking about representation. Yeah, it's better representation now.
So this is almost time running out of this show, but drop some knowledge for those who are in this walk just like you are at the same exact time. What can you tell them to help, or at least encourage them to keep within this walk and never leave it, and know that there's always going to be ups and downs, but you had an amazing story. Not many people I know can survive not having a job, sleeping in a car, not knowing where to go and go, and not having family members to help them. So you, to me, you give so much strength in this podcast show. What can you tell young sisters and young brothers, really, that are going through your similar situation?
I can tell them to, it's tough, y'all. It's tough. It's tough days. It's tough nights. You know, it doesn't matter a lot of times, like, how long you've been, like, in this walk, whether you just woke up or you've been in it for years, you will be tried and you will be tested. And sometimes you will feel like Yah is not listening to you. He's not hearing you out. You know, sometimes you even ask yourself, like, is he really there? Like, when you're looking, excuse me, at the people who are around you. But my biggest takeaway, and just like being a lover of people and realizing, you have to understand, people are human, like, they have flaws. So that's why you can't always, like, keep looking to people to find your strength in other people. You have to find it in Yahuwah, and you have to find it in Yahusha, because even if you have positive people around you, you know, if they're not serving the Father, and it's sad to say, but if they're not serving the Father, even if they're not trying to, they will pull you away. So I say, learn to be alone. That's my biggest takeaway since I've been on this walk. And being alone doesn't necessarily mean that you're lonely. It just means that no matter what, at the end of the day, you will drop anything and everything for Yahuwah. And you have to be willing to do that. I don't care whether it's a spouse, I don't care if it's your parents, you know, even your children, I don't care, your friends, whoever it is, Yahuwah has to be number one in your life. Because if he's not, what happens is then you will be disappointed a lot. And in yourself too, like, we could be looking at our own selves, putting ourselves on a pedestal, but even Yahusha said himself, like, no one is good but Yahuwah. You know, like, I don't care if you're a prophet, you're a messenger, whatever fancy name or title, you know, we like to give ourselves these days, like, that means nothing. It's all about Yahuwah. So if you have that mindset, okay, everything is about Yahuwah, you know, everything is about me serving and worshiping him, everything is about me following the ways of Yahusha, if you have that mindset, you can get through and survive anything. Like, I'm telling you, I look at my family and friends who don't serve Yah, and they are literally, a lot of times, they're not at peace, they're not at comfort. Like, and I'm sure a lot of y'all who are, you know, listeners are going through your own tests and trials of, like, the most toughest things in the world, and then you have your family and friends who don't serve Yah. They could just have a little paper cut and they screaming, running around like it's the worst thing in the world. Like, Yah built soldiers. He built soldiers. So yeah, be an individual. I'm gonna keep saying it. Like, and I know sometimes, like, I feel like sometimes I could come off like even my mother, she said this recently to me. Like, I went to the doctors with her. She was like, you're so militant. Like, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Like, I don't know, like, what Yahuwah did when he built me, but when he builds the remnant, like, we are those kind of people where we tough. We tough.
Exactly, sis. I love that verse in, I think it was 2 Timothy 2 and 3, when it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahusha HaMashiach. And so that's what we are. We all got to be soldiers. And it says, in the next verse, it says, no man that wars entangles himself within this world so he could be a good soldier for Yahuwah. And you right on point, sis. I wish nothing but Yahuwah's blessings and covering for you. I know he will bless you around the road, to marriage and to happiness and peace. And who knows, you'll get that barn out in a little bit of the way with good Wi-Fi so you can still be connected to this world. But I thank you so much. I thank you so much for doing this show.
Thank you so much for having me, Brother Larry. Like, no, I do want to share this a little bit before we go. Mm-hmm. Like, you were the first person, like, like when I woke up like on this walk that I could relate to, because I couldn't really relate to like the camps and stuff. I couldn't relate, but I'm like, oh no, this brother is spitting truth. He exposing these, you know, these secret societies, these celebrities, these athletes or whatever, these the people who are pretending that they're us. He exposing everybody. I was like, okay, this is a man of y'all. Like, he's not afraid to say like what's on his mind, to speak the truth, to be ostracized, you know. And that's like what the remnant like attracts to. So I just want to thank you, Brother Larry, because I'm gonna be honest, if it wasn't for you and your platform, you motivated me to even launch my YouTube. Like, I'm telling you.
Thank you, sis. Thank you for my flowers. Thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate
you
it.
deserve your flowers. You are a blessing to the whole entire Israelite community.
Thank you so
So,
much. All right, after this show's over, you have to tell me about that dream again.
oh, okay.
All right. All right, I'm gonna put
Yeah.
stop real quick.
Okay.